This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. And again, if you would like to contact me, you can do that through the website or through regular mail. You can re-listen to this program on my website and you can read a weekly meditation on my website. So if you would like the address of my website or my regular mailing address, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, we've been looking at this matter of worship, and we have noted that we take our doctrine from the New Testament, but we get our illustrations in the Old Testament. And so I'm looking at some Old Testament illustrations of worship from the book of Leviticus, because really, when the children of Israel were traveling from Egypt to the Promised Land, they built a tent or a tabernacle where the Lord dwelled when they pitched it, when they were in one place, and they took it with them when they were traveling. But when that tent was pitched, there were very detailed instructions given to the children of Israel as to how to worship the Lord. And we have really looked at, we've been mentioning that we have the burnt offering in chapter 1 of Leviticus, and we have the meat offering, the meal offering, in chapter 2 of Leviticus, and we have the peace or fellowship offering in chapter 3, and those are all called sweet savor offerings. And then in chapter 4, we have the sin offering, and in chapter 5, we have the trespass or guilt offering, and the sin offering is really associated with the nature of sin, and the trespass offering is associated with the acts of sin that we commit, and those are not called sweet savor offerings because they really sin is not something that is pleasant to us or to the Lord. The first three offerings primarily represent the Lord Jesus, but they also represent the offerer in some ways, and so we want to look at that. And in order for us to do that, I want to go back to Leviticus chapter 1 and begin reading from verse 1. Now the Lord called to Moses and spake to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, When any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering is a burnt offering of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will. Notice it was to be a voluntary offering. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. He shall kill the bull before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall skin the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. The sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire on the altar and lay the wood in order on the fire. Then the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar, and he shall wash its entrails and its legs with water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar as a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma, a sweet savor, I think it says in the Old King James, this is the New King James, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And then it goes on to tell that the offering can be from the flocks of the sheep or the goats. And then the offering can be from the birds. In verse 14, if the burnt sacrifice of his offering to the Lord is of birds, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or young pigeons. Now the Lord gives detailed instructions as to what pleases him and how he wants the offerings offered to him. Now you'll notice as we look at the burnt offering that this is a life given wholly to God. And really, we should note that as we look at these offerings, the first offering is an offering that's given wholly to God, and the last offerings are the ones that deal specifically with the nature of sin and the acts of sin. I think that when we get saved, normally we are convicted of our sin, and we appreciate the value of the sin offering, particularly the sin offering, more so than we appreciate the value of the burnt offering. The sin offering is the offering that really puts away our sin, and the trespass offering is the offering that is offered when we know we have committed an error and want to make it right, when we have trespassed against the Lord. And most of us, before we're saved, actually I should say all of us, before we're saved, we're convicted of our sin. And when we get saved, we find out, well, Christ died for sinners. And because Christ died for sinners, if we trust in that truth, we go free, and it gives us such relief. But we seem to come into our relationship with God based on the sin offering and the trespass offering. But you'll notice that in Leviticus, when it comes to worship, it's the burnt offering that's mentioned first. And I really believe the burnt offering speaks most of all of the Lord wholly and totally devoting himself to God and satisfying God on our behalf. Now, I believe it also speaks of those of us who are saved and our responsibility to the Lord as well. I believe that when we look at Romans chapter 12, for example, we find that Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And so it is true that the burnt offering, while it speaks primarily of what Christ has done to satisfy God, it also speaks of what a Christian should be once they are saved. They should be wholly devoted to God. And it's our bodies, interesting enough, that Romans 12 says should be devoted for God. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We place a lot of emphasis on the body in this life. It's what's seen. It's what we live in. It's how we feel good. It's how we work. It's all of those things. And so we place a lot of emphasis on it. And most of life centers around making the body look good, feel good, be healthy. And the Lord says, you take this body now that contains you, the real you, and you use it for me. Devote it to me. And since we no longer can devote it to self, but we're devoting it to the Lord, it becomes a sacrifice. It becomes, we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So the burnt offering really reflects both. You'll notice it's a voluntary offering. It's not an offering that the Lord demands. And so even with Christ, there are those who look at the sacrifice of Christ at the cross and say, well, how could God do that to his Son? Well, in an eternity past, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit knew that Satan would come into the garden and would deceive Eve, and sin would take, the nature of sin would pass on all men. I think it's Romans that tells us, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But that didn't take God by surprise. And so a plan was devised, and the Lord knew that in that plan he would be the one who would have to come and die for the sins of the world. But he did it voluntarily. It was of his own free will. And sometimes when people criticize God for allowing his Son, when we look at the Trinity as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when they look at God the Father allowing his Son to go through that, they forget that it was voluntary on the part of the Son, and they also forget this is what man did to the Lord Jesus. Oh, I know that Isaiah makes it clear that he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. So this suffering was necessary in order for the penalty of sin to be borne by the Lord at the cross. But it was what man did to the Lord. God allowed it. And the plan of God in an eternity past, all about it. But it was what men did to the Lord Jesus that really speaks to me, because that's where we see the hatred of man and the sin of man when it comes to his relationship with God. We're self-centered, and we have a tendency to reject everything that is holy and righteous unless the Holy Spirit convicts us that we're doing wrong. And so when we look at the cross, God the Father allowed his Son to suffer at the hands of sinners, but he also suffered at the hands of God. But that was in the 3 hours of darkness that we don't see. And what happened there is shrouded from our eyes, because there were dealings with in those three dark hours that I believe fully satisfied God, and probably satisfied God with regard to not only the burnt offering aspects of worship, but the sin offering aspects of worship. Now, again, we emphasize that these Old Testament sacrifices did not save. You could argue that the Passover lamb saved the nation when it was offered in Exodus chapter 12. But when they kept the Passover and remembered what happened in Exodus chapter 12, that never saved anyone. It was the offering of a saved people. And these offerings never saved the people. They were the offerings of a redeemed people who wanted to worship the Lord. So this offering was a costly offering. It was offered wholly to God. It speaks first of all of what Christ did that satisfied God. The Lord looked down from heaven, was satisfied with what the Lord Jesus did, and because of that, he raised him from the dead. And it speaks of what we ought to be. And so when we look at the offering, you'll notice they couldn't just offer this any place. They had to offer it on that burnt offering that the Lord had them build. It had to be offered in a particular place, and it had to be offered with them identifying with the offering. And I think sometimes when we come together to worship, we're all self-centered. We forget that we're supposed to lay our hands figuratively on the head of that offering and identify with it. I like it when people are worshiping, when they say, "Thank you, God, for sending your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me." I think there's a song that says, "Lord Jesus, I love you. I know thou art mine, my rock and my fortress, my surety divine." It's nice when we lay our hands on the head, or on the head of that burnt offering, and figuratively identify with it when we are worshiping God. So this burnt offering was all for God. It was voluntary. It didn't save, but it was a way that the saved could show their love for God. And I hope that we are worshiping God in that way today, that when we remember the Lord in the breaking of bread, we understand that that doesn't save us, but the saved should do that. And when we sing, we understand that that singing doesn't save us, but the heart of a Christian should want to sing. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon those who are listening. We pray for thy blessing upon all that has been of thyself. Meet the needs of our audience today. We thank thee for thy love. In our Savior's name, amen. Now, our address, our mailing address, is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.